Let us sing, and let us do so with the words by the Sea of Crystal. Dear congregation, the Word of God is key to our comfort, and so may that also be heard as I will read several passages with you. And the first passage is to be found in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the verses 1 through 11. I will skip over Psalm 90, and I do so because of the length of time, but I do so also so that you will go home later on and read Psalm 90 for yourself and meditate upon it. After that, we'll read from John 11 and from Romans 8 and finally from Psalm 42. So let us then first turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and beginning at verse 1 to verse 11. Hear then God's holy and inspired word. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to fear, and a time a time to fear, to tear rather, tear rather, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. So far, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We will now turn to the Gospel according to John, and we will read from John chapter 11. John chapter 11, reading the verses 18 through 36. John chapter 11, beginning at verse 18. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then, when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. So far, the reading of this portion. Then we turn to another portion in the New Testament, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, the verses 16 through 30, or verses 31 rather, through 39. 31 through 39. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then we turn back to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, as we will read from Psalm 42, from which we will also hear a message as well. So let us turn then to Psalm 42. And as we read this passage, please try to picture in your mind what you are seeing and what you are hearing in this psalm. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, when they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember those things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim's feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of the Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of my countenance and my God. So far, the reading of Psalm 42. Let us, in response to the readings of God's word, sing from a psalter that was very favored with our dear brother Bill, Psalm 187.
Oh,
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning hour at this special day, this day of the funeral of our dear brother, Bill Meinen. And as we come before you in prayer, we ask that you would be with us, that you would address us by your word and Holy Spirit, that we may understand your ways, that we may be comforted in the knowledge that you are the God of people who have thirsted after you, that you are the God of people and the Savior of people who long to be with you one day, and that for eternity. We pray, therefore, that as we will explain a small portion of your holy word, that this word may speak to us, and that it may comfort us, that it may give us good and blessed memories, and that it may work to the honor of your blessed and holy name. We do pray for the family. Remember each one of them in your mercy. Each one of them has a grief, has a sorrow, and is in need of comfort. We pray for each one of them. Lord, as we have read of the Lord Jesus, that he wept, we too want to weep with them, O Lord God. We too want to show our grief, our sadness at the loss of this dear brother. We too want to express how sad we feel that this brother is no longer with us. But we at the same time take comfort in knowing that he's gone to be with the Lord, and that he is enjoying the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ presently. And therefore grant that our thoughts may be directed to that end. Please grant that there be no distractions. Grant that in all things we may honor you and hear from you what you are pleased to say to us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Dear Darlene, William, Tanya, Ryan, Sean, spouses and family, friends, those who have worked with Bill at one time or another, you will understand that we grieve greatly. And we grieve in Christian love. And we want to do it in the same way as the Lord Jesus once grieved for the loss of his dear friend Lazarus. We too want to weep with you as well and experience something of the missing that will be experienced for the time to come as well. We are sad at the loss of a beloved husband, father, grandfather, and our brother, William Hendrik Meinen, better known as Bill Meinen. For the last 8 weeks or so, he's been struggling with COVID, and as a result, perhaps not directly, but nevertheless, and there were some blood clots, some difficulties breathing, and it took its toll. And now, the struggle is over for him. The struggle is over for him. The last time I talked with him was about a half a year ago. And just some small talk. Bill, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing okay. As the family has experienced it, and as the family has also expressed that on the writings of the funeral home director, and I thank you for also putting that on, that piece of material. The family has experienced that Bill was a tender-hearted, and I basically quote, Bill was a tender-hearted, kind, gentle spirit who loved God and his family, and that there is no greater peace than knowing Bill is with his Lord and Savior. Now, I've known Bill for many years, also as his pastor for some 14 years as well. Or not as 14 years, but I've known him for a good long time. As Bill was still a truck driver and at the same time a custodian of the church. But one thing that I can say, and one thing that I hear time and time again, that Bill was ready to serve and to serve anyone who needed help. Bill was ready to serve, and he did so gladly. Well then, the family has indicated to me that Psalm 42 was much on Bill's mind and much on his thoughts, especially the last half year and a half or so. And therefore, let me say something briefly about Psalm 42, particularly the first two verses of this psalm, as it points to thirsting for God. And a very graphic picture is presented to us here before us in this psalm. It is a picture of a deer panting after the water brooks. It conveys the idea, therefore, perhaps, of a deer who has escaped from the hunters, and it has become extremely tired, and in its thirst, it pants for, literally, it says, it brays after water. And if you could see this deer at this moment throwing its head upwards and while hoofing the dry ground at the same time beneath him, it opens its mouth wide and with all its failing strength brays just to have a drop of water. I'm sure that in the land of Palestine, especially during the prolonged seasons of drought, there have been many deer that could not get any water and have consequently died because of thirst. Well, it is not the dying of thirst, but it is the panting, that is the braying, the longing, which has the emphasis here in our text passage, dear people. And not merely for some water, but for God, for God. And so it says, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. For us people, life can be complex on this earth. It can keep us so busy with the things that need to be done, as no doubt it has been busy for you, particularly as family. Or there is this busyness of everyday work and labor, or of school and of studies and whatever it might be that keeps you busy. Life on earth also presents us, we know, with many difficulties, such as poor health, such as business ventures that go wrong, such as other matters that trouble us greatly. And then life in this world presents us, besides all of that, with temptations of sorts, temptations that lead to doing things that we know deep down we should not be doing. And such busyness of life, combined with all the difficulties and perhaps also combined with some temptations as well, tend to draw us away from that which is really important for each one of us, our need for God, our need for God. And God is then so easily forgotten, isn't he? Thoughts of him become rare, and the worship of him has to be sidelined at times. In other words, life on this earth can be lived so easily without concerning ourselves with God. And then naturally, there is little or no thirsting for God either. And dear people, this is not spiritually healthy for any of us. Because living without any concern for God, living never having much trust or thirst for God, might end up with us being without God someday and without any hope for the future. I wouldn't want it for any of you in that way. Now, it is a mystery, and it certainly is a miracle, and it is a wonder of God's grace that He Himself actually creates a thirst for Him, and that in the soul and in the lives of people like you and I. Yes, He creates a thirst for Him in our souls, and He is most willing and ready to do that also at this moment. He does that in various ways. Through the loss of a loved one. He does that also through sickness, poor health, or other difficulties. But through all of these, God wants to create a need and a thirst for Him. And I pray that that may also happen with us this hour. And God also does this, after all, through His Word and by the way of His Holy Spirit, who works through His Word. So that as we experience various sad events, like this one here, as we experience this sad event, God is the one who continues to be at our side, who continues to be there in order to comfort us and to quench our thirst for Him, so that things change inside for the good. And perhaps you have sensed it for yourself already. You begin to look differently about life in this world. You begin to see that this world and all the things that this world has to offer cannot really satisfy that deep down need that we have. There is something missing when all we can do is look at the world. In fact, it no doubt troubles us what is happening in the world today. You begin to realize then that the things that you have been busy with in your life so far do not seem to be all that terribly important anymore, because now you've missed someone, you've lost a loved one, and you feel that it's no use becoming busy with anything else. There's nothing more that is meaningful. But God presents Himself to be the one who is still meaningful for you, for me, for each one of us, family and friends and congregation. Same time you begin to sense that those troubles of life are too heavy to bear on your own. And no, you will not be able to bear the loss on your own. You'll sink under it. But God will carry you. He will lift you up. He will strengthen you for that. Definitely He will. What is happening? Well, this hour, what is happening? God is busy with each and every one of you who is here and listening to this message. He is busy with His Word and with His Holy Spirit, creating in you a need and a thirst for Him. That is God Himself. And why is this? Well, because we are told here in the Word of God that He is the living God. He is the one and only living God. Which means that not only is God alive, but that He is life-giving at the same time. Life-giving. The God of Psalm 42, dear people, is the living God who can give spiritual life to you, young and old. Which is a life that the busyness of this world cannot possibly ever take away. He is the living God who can give you the strength to carry your difficulties, who gives you the patience that is needed to go through those difficult times, as you, as family especially, have experienced it for the last while. Dear people, thirsting for God is not a bad thing at all. Not a bad thing at all. It is spiritually healthy for you to be thirsting for God. And let's make it a little bit more personal yet. Thirsting for God is, in reality, thirsting after Jesus Christ, the life-giving, self-giving, self-sacrificing Savior of sinners like you and me. And you know what the Lord Jesus Christ did? He earned that life that he's willing to give to you. He earned that life as he paid for it by his own life, by his sacrifice on the cross of Golgotha. He died, but he also rose again at the same time to show the world that he is the living God. That he shows that those who will believe in him, he will give life and he will give them eternal life. Eternal life. And so it is amazing when you have that spiritual life, you will be at the same time thirsting for God. When you have spiritual life, you will be thirsting for God. And you will endear yourself to these words of Psalm 42 as a deer pants. You'll too at times be panting, braying, "Oh God, quench my thirst, lavish me with yourself." And so, dear people, please allow Jesus Christ, our God, through this event of passing away of this dear brother, allow this particular event, through the Word and the Holy Spirit, allow God to work in you and work a thirst in you. Our brother Bill Minen, I believe he would want to speak about this thirst for Jesus Christ. And I've known him long enough that yes, the family was right. The family was right. Bill loved Psalm 42. He knew something about such spiritual thirst. And that not in a complaining way. You who know him very well, you know that Bill did never complain, according to my knowledge and from what I hear from the family as well. He did not even complain when there was that spiritual thirst, because he knew it was good to have that thirst. My friend, let this desire of your departed one, loved one, not be wasted on you. Let it not be wasted on you. Yield to God's word that comes to each one of us this hour. Yield to that word and experience the wonder of spiritual thirst. Now, there's one thing that I need to say it before I bring it to a close. Psalm 42, verse 2, ends with a question. When shall I come and appear before God? You could also phrase the question in this way. When shall I finally be in the presence of our God? When shall I finally be in the presence of our dear Savior Jesus Christ? But we may believe that our dear brother Bill has received an answer to that particular question. And we are comforted to know that this is the truth of the Word of God. And we may hope, we may experience therefore then also the hope as well, that he now is finally in the presence of his beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear family, your beloved one has gone to be with the Lord. But by way of Bill's desire to have Psalm 42 as his funeral text, he, as it were, speaks to us through this text, as God allows this. He also wants you to know something about that thirst for God. By way of his desire, Psalm 42, as his funeral text, he has therefore conveyed to you, whoever you are, family, children, grandchildren, friends, co-workers, congregation. He wants to convey to you also that you too would acquire, that you too would receive a need, that you too would have a thirst for the living God, for Jesus Christ the Savior. This is what Bill would say through saying, "Pastor, please, please preach from Psalm 42. Now, as your former pastor, congregation, friends, we convey to you, therefore, our heartfelt condolences. And we urge you, therefore, to comfort each other with those words. Amen. It is most fitting, dear congregation, to sing about the faithfulness of God. And so let us sing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," hymnal, page 21. I want to invite the family. I believe it is Tanya, and I'm not sure who else will be speaking, but Tanya, and okay. Okay. Please introduce yourself. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm Sean, as most of you know. As all of you know, my dad had many great gifts and qualities, one of which was the gift of gab. If you find yourself involved in a conversation, you might hear something like, "Well, let me tell you," followed by a bit of a giggle. This would more than likely lead into a story of some kind, and he had a lot of them. To best try and honor my dad, I guess I'll attempt a story of myself, with much input from family and some dear friends, of course. Dad was born in Seaforth, January 20th, 1952, where the Minen family first resided when they immigrated from Holland. Shortly after, Opa Minen bought a farm outside of St. Paul's, where my aunts would rock little Billy to sleep every night. At the time, there was a community of six families that would come to form the congregation of the Mitchell Fur Reformed Church: the DeVrieses, Benjamins, Ottens, Minens, Mangers, and Vosses. Friendships came to be during my dad's upbringing, infancy to Sunday school, young people's society into adulthood. Many warm summer nights in his adolescence were spent in the shed fixing cars and socializing, and knowing my dad was most likely for the socializing.
Okay. Let's put this on.
Okay. Okay. Many warm summer nights in his adolescence were spent in the shed fixing cars and socializing, and knowing my dad was most likely for the socializing. Dad had a few old cars in which I'm told he absolutely babied and never abused or ditched. A 66 Impala convertible and a 64 Mercury Comet, to name a couple, which of course never got him into any kind of trouble. To say my dad was a family man would be an understatement. Dad loved all of his kids dearly. There isn't anything he wouldn't do for any one of us. As my siblings and I reminisce about early home life, we were truly blessed to be brought up in a Christian home with unconditionally loving parents. We all had a part in helping caring for our light brother, Jared. But it takes an especially special type of love to go to the extent that our parents did to make sure Jared had the safest, warmest, most comfortable life possible. From building entire triple foam padded areas in our houses for Jared to really rock and roll, tracks to lift to get him in and out of his chair and into his fully enclosed padded mesh wrap bed, to his shower and into his area. They really did exploit every amenity possible. Not only did this extend to Jared, but our home was regularly filled with an ensemble of people that would promote laughter and inclusiveness. Our house would often be a regular hangout for young peoples over the years, hosting groups of teenagers for suppers and fellowship. Dad wouldn't hold back a bit of harmless teasing while conversing with everyone, which was often well-deserved, accompanied with a chuckle, of course. There would be times where Mom or Tanya would be playing the piano to a familiar tune, and Dad would have no problem jumping in with that melodious bass line, which was always welcomed and enjoyed. There's so many things to make this list. I think my siblings would agree, my family would agree. From spontaneous trips, packing up on midday and heading to Florida, to not being able to travel anywhere in Perth or Huron counties without Dad shortly pointing out a barn, shed, or shop that he helped build back in the day. Or just simply repeating a story that we have already heard. One of which would be about the time Bernie Minen and my dad spent a long night plowing the fields on Opa's farm, where they were certain they saw a UFO in the sky. And when they told Opa, he had never laughed harder. I'm sure many would agree my dad was a generous, considerate, kind-hearted man that was ready to help whenever he could. Instances like helping the Vosses ship market hogs because of John's injury, or putting his carpentry talents to use by helping numerous times build or renovate homes, or assist with the church's building committee projects, as well as many years as church caretaker, ready to serve with a smile. If not work, just a sit, a coffee, and a chat, or a drive and a coffee and a chat. It was never a big ask for Dad's help out of a bind. Picking up or dropping off grandkids, involving himself with his grandkids' lives. Work or play, he just wanted to be there when possible. Also offering his hot rod HHR to the boys to take on dates. I appreciated the times he would drive all over picking up parts, working in the shop, or helping deliver loads through the night. Some great memories were made. Some great memories were made trucking through the night together, chatting on the radio, and the odd time with only one complaint. Sean, this Kenworth is nice, but it's no Freightliner. There was a time in my dad's life where there was a void. Not a void without faith or love for God, but it was through that faith and prayer that led my dad to a whole new chapter with Darlene, a woman with a similar void in her life, a match made with God at their center. God had brought them together to fill that emptiness in both of their lives. Their newly founded love for each other was a special gift. Companions finding their way through a rocky past. God blending two lives and two families with love. Not without patience, forgiveness, compromise, and determination. Dad and Darlene rebuilt a home. Made retirement plans, turning snowbirds, and migrating for the sunny south in Florida. Our memories were enjoyed. Friends were made. A fire or two extinguished. There was no shortage of obstacles. But God was with you. In the last year, Darlene, your vows were tested through sickness and in health. And in the end, till death do you part, vows fulfilled. My dad will be missed by all of us. And Dad loved the Lord. He was ready for Jesus to bring him home. For we do not grieve without hope that by God's grace and salvation we'll be reunited in his kingdom. Praise be the Lord.
John, for your eulogy, and we praise the Lord that he gave you the opportunity to speak. We will now continue and finish off the program as we have it, and it is time for us to sing again. And the songs that the family has picked are no doubt also the favorite with Bill at one time. And so, 10,000 reasons. After that, I want to lead you in prayer of thanksgiving. Lead you in prayer of thanksgiving. our gracious and good-doing and loving God, we come to you at the end of this service to thank you that you have given us words of hope, words of comfort, words of encouragement, and that through Psalm 42, we may lift up our voice, we may lift up our heads in prayer, as the deer once did, and thirsts after water, living water. Please grant that to the family, each one individually. Bless them. And as we now go to the cemetery, we do pray that you travel with us and that this loved one may be committed to the bosom of this earth, and that Pastor Hutton may have a word of hope and comfort to speak to each one of us there. And we ask all this in Jesus' precious name with thanksgiving. Amen. It is well with my soul. What a wonderful hymn that is to sing. Let us do that in closing.